in the city, 11 in Tuggeranong and 10 in Gungahlin. I'm Francis Keeney. There'll be more news at 4.30 on 2CC, where you'll hear it first in the nation's capital.
Thank you, Francis. It's a little after 4:05. The Chief Minister, John Stanhope, has joined us in the studio. Chief Minister, thank you.
It's a pleasure, Mark.
We'll put your mic on. How's that? Is that better? There we've got. Well, I've got a lot of emails as well, but it appears as though the lines have gone absolutely berserk. But we said to the people we would get you in, we would open the line. So let's do it. But firstly, it'll mostly, one would imagine, be about the schools. And I've heard you made the comment on several occasions that if this is your political demise, so be it. Is that something you really believe? I mean, you're a serious politician, you're a seasoned politician, you would know the outcome, and you've seen the anger since you made the decision, or you've seen the protests. Are you prepared for that?
Well, it is a tough decision, there's no doubt about that, and I don't anticipate losing the next election. I don't have a death wish. I intend to continue in politics for some time to come yet. It is a hard decision, and it's the sort of decision, though, that I believe that the people of Canberra expect of me as Chief Minister and now as Treasurer. I obviously and honestly believe the decision that I've made and that I've announced is the right decision. Otherwise, I wouldn't have made it, because
True.
I know the stakes, and the stakes essentially are that we'll lose the next election, that my political career will come to a crushing end, and that'll be it for me. And I don't want that.
But are you prepared, if that happens, to walk away and still say, well, this had to be done, it was way overdue, I've done it, it's cost me...
Absolutely. Without a doubt, I don't hesitate for one second to say that I would much prefer to make decisions that I believe to be right, in the best interests of the community, now and particularly into the long term. Mm. We're talking about a sustainable, long-term, better education system. And if the price I have to pay for doing what I believe is right is that I lose favour and electoral favour and support, then of course... In terms of my personal philosophy and the way I've approached politics and my job, I am, of course, prepared for the consequences of doing what I think is absolutely right.
Do you think, I mean, it's probably early days yet, there's still a lot of anger there. Are you, by using that explanation, are you working into it, do you think?
Well, I have to say there certainly is a lot of emotion, a lot of anger from individual parents around individual school closures. They have a particular stake, as we all do. There is nothing more important to us than our children, their education and their futures. And, of course, there's nothing more important to me. And now that I have an overarching responsibility for the health and the continuing health of the ACT government education system, I'm looking not just to the children that are at school today, but the ones that are going to be at school in 5 years and the ones that are going to be at school in 15 and 20 years. And let me say, you know, I don't say this as a politician because it reflects on me and it's only negative in the context of the outcomes, is we cannot continue to run our government services around educational health or a whole range of government services that we currently deliver at the level which we currently deliver them. It is unsustainable to continue to grow our systems at the rate of expenditure and expansion that we have since self-government into the future. There simply will not be enough money. We simply will not have the money we need to provide the full range of government services that the community has a right to expect. It's a simple equation. You know, we can only spend the money which we can appropriately gather. And even in this budget, you know, there is some criticism of some of the increases in rates, but they're a reflection of the cost of delivering services for the people of Canberra. You know, since we came to government, and I use health by way of example because the figures are stark, since coming to government, we have increased expenditure on health care delivery in the ACT by $300 million a year. We now spend $750 million a year on health care. When we came to government, it was $415 million in the last Liberal budget.
The people who are concerned about the school closures, as you well know, they're not concerned about that at the moment.
Well, I can use the same...
Well,
sure, yeah. And I can use the same... I can use the same sorts of order of increase in expenditure on education. Yeah. But the situation we find in education is that we continue to expand our education infrastructure and our number of teachers whilst the number of students declines. Yeah. The demographic is very different.
Oh, I see your point there. As far as those numbers, I see that point. But as far as what's in front of mind of people now, it's the schools.
Oh, sorry. Well, I wasn't looking for a distraction because I know the calls will be on schools. But I'm talking about, you know, we don't just deliver education services. We deliver health services at the cost of $750 million. We've just, for the first time since self-government, passed $100 million a year in relation to policing with the extra 60 police that we've promised to employ. The cost of policing in the ACT now exceeds $100 million a year. You know, these expenditures, which the community rightfully expects, like they want to be safe, they want more police on the streets, we've responded in this budget. We're employing an additional 60 police. The bill for policing in the Territory now exceeds $100 million. This money has to come from somewhere.
Oh, sure. OK, we can take some calls. 6255-4444 is another. Caroline, would you like to speak to the Chief Minister?
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
It's a pleasure, Carolyn.
I'm ringing. I have two students at Village Creek Primary in Canberra, one at the preschool, one at the primary school. Now, for all the parents who have kids in these schools that are being closed, and for our school in particular, in the Towards 2020 Renewing Our Schools brochure, it states that Village Creek Primary School in Canberra has a capacity of 500 students. Can you please advise all of us parents where this figure came from, and is it based on the class sizes that the government has mandated? For example, 21 students from kinder to year three, and I think it's 24 students per teacher above?
In terms of our reduced class sizes.
Now, have they been based on those class sizes?
Thank you, Caroline. We'll let the Chief Minister respond there so we can clear that line.
Thanks, Caroline. I don't know the answer to that specific question other than to say to you that all of the computations in relation to school size and capacity were worked out and the result of consideration by the Department of Education. Now, I've relied on that advice and that information. I have no reason to dispute it, but certainly in relation to the consultation process that we're engaged in, it's issues such as the one that you raise. Well, for my particular school, where we have some difficulty as a school community, as a group of parents, understanding where the figure of 500 comes from, can you better explain it? That's the sort of information I would want provided to you, but I don't have it here with me today, I'm sorry, except to say that the advice on all of the school capacities advice delivered to government and to ministers in the cabinet by our Department of Education. But in an overall sense, and I know for you, Carolyn, in relation to your particular issue and your children, the issues that you face in having them potentially relocated, finding a new school, settling them in, it is a challenge. But for the government, the overarching decision for us, say, in relation to schools in Canberra, was that we have four primary schools and a high school in Canberra with an ageing demographic. We have over 50% excess capacity across the four primary schools in Canberra, and it's logical to us, with an ever-expanding system which we need to consolidate, to say, well, in Canberra, admittedly the largest suburb in Canberra, we have four primary schools and we have less than half capacity across that system. So it's just logical and obvious to us, as we seek to provide a better education system, better funded, that we would consolidate those four primary schools into two primary schools and get far better quality educational outcomes for the money which we expend. But I hope actually today we'll see he's taken your number. I hope they're doing that, and I will personally ensure that we respond to your specific request, Carolyn.
Okay, we've done that. Hannah.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Mr. Stanhope.
Hello, Hannah.
Thank you for this opportunity to talk to you. I really need you to put my mind at ease about something. But first, the reason we've called is because my daughter is in the kindergarten class at Geraldine Primary School. She actually asked to have a comment. Would you mind speaking with her for a moment?
That's fine, thanks,
Here
Hannah.
You go.
Hello, what's your name?
Ashley.
Ashley, is it?
Yes.
Okay, you can talk to the Chief Minister.
Okay. I want to keep going in this school because I only started this year.
Well, thank you, Ashley, and thank you for your viewpoint. I do appreciate that. It's very important that we know what you think, and it's important that we know what your parents think. And the government, of course, wants you to have a very good education, and that's what I'm seeking to ensure that we do, Ashley, now and for your whole school and other education. But thank you for talking to me.
6255-4444 is the number. Andrew, can we help you?
Hi. I'm glad I'm speaking to the Treasurer because I'm sure he'd have the costing on this instead of running and hiding. I want to know what percentage of the total uniform costs will be reimbursed, or how much will the government pay per child. I'm looking at having to re-enrol my children at Maribyrnong. I've been and got the form today to find out how much I'm going to have to spend on uniforms, and it's going to cost me $812.
Well, in relation to the transition costs, Andrew, and it's a very legitimate issue that you raise, is that parents, of course, if they do relocate as a result of closures, and we're, of course, looking forward to this period of consultation to get responses to the sorts of issues
that you... That's the response.
No, it's not my response, Andrew. Let me finish.
Excellent.
Is that, of course, we're aware of a whole range of transition issues. So we've entered into a consultation process. We genuinely want feedback. We want parents to raise with us all of the issues that would affect them. If, as you say, a uniform cost in relation to a transfer from Girraleng Primary School to another primary school for you imposes that significant cost, then, of course, in relation to the transition support, which we will provide across the board for parents who meet costs as a result of a relocation.
Percentage, or how much are you going to pay?
Well, we haven't worked that out because it's
not... Yeah, just like I thought, you haven't worked it out like the rest of it.
Well, Andrew, that's not fair.
I think it's very fair.
Well, we've entered into a consultation process. We're looking for feedback and
consultation.
Yes, I've heard that before.
Yeah, and
but in relation, not every parent's situation is the same, Andrew. Not every school has the same issue in relation to replacement uniform costs. There are a whole range.
$12. How much am I going to have to wear of that myself?
Well, there are a whole range of variables across the system, Andrew, in relation to different parents at different schools with different circumstances, and that's why we don't have a one-size-fits-all response to the issue you raise. But as I've said, and as Andrew said, and as the department is insisting, we will work with every parent, we will work with every child in relation to the development of an appropriate transition package to ensure that there is a full and seamless level and range of support for all children and all families and all parents in relation to any relocation, including reasonable relocation costs. We don't just have.
Going to get the shaft again, right?
But we certainly don't.
Exactly.
We certainly can't respond.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. Probably got on a bit too long. David, you want to talk about rate rises? There's a change of pace for you, Chief Minister.
Yes, thank you. How are you, David?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, Chief Minister, except I've got a terrible pain in the back pocket.
Yes.
I'm a self-funded retiree.
Yep.
Moved to Canberra from a little town called Migalago.
Yep.
Which will identify me immediately, but I don't care. Mainly because it had a genuine, reasonable water supply here. And I'm a keen gardener. Now, I find that the rates that I'm paying for water do not reflect, really, the type of service that I'm getting. Nor do they reflect the type of service I'm getting for garbage collection. And I'm not quite sure what else the government does. What does he do, you blokes do?
Well, we provide the full range of, I think as you know, David, state type and municipal services. There's only one level of government here in the Territory, and the ACT government's responsible for providing the full range of services, and we do it at certainly a cost and a level of excellence that matches the service delivery of anywhere in Australia. And that's one of the issues we're battling with through this particular budget is consistently since self-government, since we inherited our infrastructure and our range of services and the quality of services that have been delivered in the Territory actually probably for, you know, a significant number of decades as a result of Commonwealth oversight and the level of resourcing and infrastructure that the Commonwealth invested in here in the Territory when it was a Commonwealth Territory, Commonwealth managed and funded. But now, of course, we're self-governing, and it's a significant transfer of responsibility from the Commonwealth's bottomless coffers to the pockets of the residents of the ACT to now to provide for themselves and to pay for the services that are delivered. We deliver at an approximate level across the board government services at a cost 20% above the national average. That's traditional. That's roughly what it was at self-government, and it's what successive governments have maintained over that period, is that the cost of services as delivered by ACT governments are at a level on average 20% above the national average, and that is unsustainable. And some of the decisions that we've taken in this budget begin the process. It's not a once and only crash or crash through budget. This is a process which will now be a feature of budgets, I think, into the future as we try to restrain ACT government expenditure something closer to the national average. I don't think we should go back to the national average. We should always aspire to have the best, and the best doesn't necessarily mean the most expensive, but at the moment we do have I think the best level of government services in Australia. but we most certainly have the most expensive government services in Australia. There's no doubt about that. And the issues that we're grappling with in relation to education are a response to that. You know, we can't, as a community, keep providing government services at 20% above the national average unless we charge the people of Canberra at 20% above the national average. And your question and your issue is pertinent to the whole debate about government schools. You say you're paying too much in rates. The difficulty for the government and for the community in terms of this equation, David, is that your rates go for, to pay for services that are being delivered at 20% above the national average because since self-government, we've allowed the number of schools to grow and grow and grow, whilst the number of children in our schools has dropped by thousand upon thousand. Just since, I think, the year 2000, the number of children in government schools has declined by 7%, but we've increased significantly the number of schools. And we build more schools than we close. We almost never close schools for the reason that we're seeing now around the government's determination that their particular school in their particular suburb not be the school that closed. So as a community, the government's saying to the people of Canberra, we can't go on like this. We cannot continue to maintain the 180 or so schools which we currently have when the number of children in our government school system is declining by 1% a year and the number of children in the ACT since around about 1995 has declined by 7 or 8,000 and declining at 1% a year, and yet we don't want to close any schools. We think we've got this magic wand that says, oh, a dollar in the ACT will stretch further than a dollar stretches anywhere else in Australia. Well, it doesn't, unfortunately.
Have you taken a breath yet?
Going to ask the same question, David. We've got quite a few people on the line, but we hope the Chief Minister satisfied you there. 21 past. We do also need to go to the man in the sky, the traffic man, for Capital Subaru, Canberra's leading Subaru dealer, Dennis Lee.
Thank you very much, Mike. And Turner Barry Drive southbound past the Oval from Belconnen Way. Moving well so far this afternoon. Now, Reed, top run on Limestone Avenue past the War Memorial in both directions. Just watch out, though. It's Armed Services Day, and we did have groups there throughout the day celebrating. And at the airport, no delays on Morsett Drive, Fairburn Avenue, and Pielego Drive. Good news is, Mike, just before coming on air, I asked the boys in blue. There is no accidents or breakdowns reported. As far as we know, all lights around the suburbs working too. Massive savings at the massive tyre stock take sale now on a Kmart Tyre Auto Service. Call 13 13 28, because we understand what's driving you. Dennis Lee, another 2CC traffic update. Sure, the UBC. Any problems on the road, call the hotline number 62575611.
Thank you, Dennis. 62554444 is our number to take a few more calls. The Chief Minister is limited in the time he can give us today. Wendy, would you like to talk to the Chief Minister?
Yes, thank you. I live in the Canberra area. I can certainly understand that you need to, close a certain amount of schools due to numbers, but I certainly have concerns in the number of schools that, that you're looking at, and in particular the high schools in the Canberra area. Canberra's the biggest suburb, in ACT, I believe.
Yes, sir.
And to consider that high school is, on the target list is a big concern. And then also the infrastructure for these young primary school kids to be going across main roads to then now be able to look at going to, these new primary schools. So, how are those issues being addressed?
Well, thank you, Wendy, and I appreciate your question. I understand your concern, and these, of course, are always the concerns that most parents face. We think about our children and the new arrangements, getting them to school, how are they going to get to school, are they going to be able to walk safely? And, of course, in relation to those issues around walking and cycling, we have very good systems in relation to those particular issues, and to that extent, I can't respond to your question other than to say, well, these are real issues, issues around ensuring that there are appropriate bicycle routes, that there are appropriate road crossings, that none of our children we put at risk, that where we do need to make adjustments to ensure that the route from particular suburbs to new schools, which may be perhaps a little bit further away, are perfectly safe. And in relation to, say, your particular issue, there are issues we would respond to in a individual sense and certainly across the board in relation to relocations or closures or consolidations. But the issue about the high school, I think, was one of the hardest in our consideration, Wendy. I think the recognition or the understanding of the primary school population and the over. Just simply, we have more schools than, you know, we can most efficiently use across the ACT, and I think perhaps in relation to the primary schools, it was a little bit clearer for us in the difficult decisions we made. Yeah. It did get harder as we got to the high school and then particularly the college, but the difficulty for us is we have an oversupply and inefficiencies at every level of schooling, preschool, primary school, high school and college, and we sought geographically to construct a new arrangement in relation to our educational hierarchy. We're trying to make our educational system more attractive. We want the outcomes to be better. We're looking at arrangements which we think will appeal more broadly to the parents of Canberra. And so they're the sorts of issues we took into account. We want our system to be better. I'm gravely concerned that 41% of all Canberrans now send their... I fully support the private sector, don't get me wrong, but I'm gravely concerned that Canberra parents are turning their back on the government system at the rate of 1% of parents a year. Yeah, by the year 2010, there will be more children in non-government high schools, secondary schooling, than there are in government high schooling. We reach a point in relation to critical mass where there are serious implications for the government system. We'd be the only place in Australia where more parents have turned their backs on the government system. These are very much in my thinking, is that the parents of Canberra, for whatever reason, are turning their backs on the government system at the rate of 1% a year. We're down to 59%. That's across the system when you take it part by part. By the year 2010, within 3 years, we will have more children in the ACT attending non-government high schools than there are attending government high schools. And that's not an outcome that I believe allows us to meet the needs of particularly the children that attend the government sector.
Okay, Wendy, thanks for your call. That's something I've heard you say before as well. I mean, is that a concern of yours that the government, clearly there's a reason for it?
Yes.
And there can only be one major reason for it because it's a lower standard, isn't it? Is that accepted?
Well, there are, must be a whole range of perceptions, and I think there's a whole range of reasons why parents choose one system as against the other. Yeah. But for as
but do they stay there? Because it's expensive, there's a big commitment, isn't
well,
there?
There is, I think, but by the time that parents make the decision, many more children that attend a non-government school will attend it during the high school years and not the primary school years, and the transferal occurs at the high school stage. But if you think about this in the context of a absolute commitment, which I have and which my government has, that the number one responsibility of a government is to ensure that every child in our community has equal access to quality education, then that is delivered through a government system that produces excellence in education, which our system does. But it's, I believe, under pressure if parents, particularly those that can pay, move their children from the government sector to the non-government sector at the rate that they currently are. And we're determined to address that.
So that's those with the ability to pay, you say, would that make a lot of difference? Because it's voluntary, isn't it, a contribution?
Well, except, you know, non-government fees are, in some schools, particularly high. And at one level, it is about capacity to pay. It's around a whole range of other reasons as well. But if I might just say, Mike, and we haven't gone to this, I was speaking with Wendy just now about, you know, our determination to actually provide a range of educational opportunities through a completely new structured school. We're looking at, you know, early childhood education, specialisation in certain preschool schools. We're looking at middle schooling. We're looking at combining years 10 with colleges. We're looking perhaps at returning in some schools to a year 7 to 12. We're looking at a full range of options trying to meet what we believe demands of parents.
This is your document, isn't this, towards 2020?
Yes, it is. That's exactly what it is.
Is that getting a fair look?
Well, at this stage, I don't believe it is, Mike, at this stage. And I believe these are issues in this next phase of the debate. People are very emotional and very many people are angry. I understand that. You know, it's not to be not expected. But we do need to work through that stage now, accept that we're angry at the decision, accept that the government is committed to it, and then work as a community to ensure that we have the best education system in Australia. It's on that basis, Mike, and this hasn't really received the coverage which I hope at some stage it will. In this budget, there's an extra $192 million of capital devoted to the government education system to lift standards. There's $20 million just for IT. There's an additional $90 million just for upgrades.
That's forward record stuff, isn't it?
It's a well, no, the capital, again. The capital, well, the $5 million a year in new IT, you know, what we'll be able to do in relation to information technology in individual government schools through a boost of $5 million a year for the next 4 years, there's an additional $90 million for capital upgrades in schools going to refurbishments, rearrangements, new labs, new specialist facilities. $192 million in this budget. You know, this education budget provides more than $700 million for education, $192 million that new, because we want to ensure we don't lose our edge as the best educator in Australia.
The selling of this is going to be the big... it's 4.30, that's your limit, you've got to go.
I do, I'm sorry.
There weren't many emails that came through. I'll give those to you. Alison's got the name of the callers. We can continue to take calls, but unfortunately we agree with the Chief Minister 4.30 and school's out as far as that. We understood that it might be dominated with the school issues and we understand the reason why. Chief Minister, thank you for coming in.
It's a great pleasure and I really welcome the opportunity to thank 2CC for allowing me to the occasion and the time.
Mike Welsh, thanks to Bloomer's Personal Injury Lawyers on Canberra's Talk Radio, 1206 2CC.
This is Canberra's Talk Radio, 2CC with the Drive Show, 26 to 5. There are far too many calls to squeeze into that half an hour with the Chief Minister. We will continue. For those people who sent the emails, they've been handed to the Chief Minister, has them under his arm as he leaves. Sharon, you've been waiting. I appreciate your time.
Hi. I just wanted to put my point of view as not just a mum in a Canberra area, but also as a family daycare worker.
Okay.
I have 10 children in care throughout the week, and only two of them are not going to be affected by the closures in any way.
So their school would be moved away, so therefore they'll be moving away from you?
Some of them, that may be the case. Others are at non-affected schools, but the numbers will increase. So they won't get the attention. My own daughter is already enrolled into Canberra High for next year. I know there's a lot of carers in the Canberra area that do not have the ability to get to other schools. They only have a sedan and therefore they will lose possibly a third of their income, maybe more.
Kind of be difficult for a lot of people because someone raised the issue of uniforms a moment ago or a short time ago. So those things, as the Chief Minister, as he said, they didn't have a policy for that. But there's going to be a lot of disruption. I just wonder, as a parent, it's going to be hard for you to do it, but do you understand the Chief Minister's explanation that it has to be done in order to provide a better future for someone else's kids later on?
Yeah. Has he thought about Mount Neighbour in particular? It has an after-school care program for that school and others. The Taylor has an after-school care program, but is it going to be able to take all the kids? And I actually attend a playgroup in the Mount Neighbour school. And how am I going to explain that to 2- and 3-year-olds?
Are you satisfied that there is a facility at the moment of consultation with the community? It's not consultation of what you think should be done, but how can we help you with what's going to be done? I mean, that's the idea I get from the government. Are you satisfied that that is going to be offered to you?
We just feel that it's been thrown at us, and the way the 2020 policy reads, it sounds like it will happen. The word will is in there in relation to the Canberra schools.
Because a lot of people thought maybe the 39 was just a bit of an ambit claim there, that maybe, you know, they'd trim that down to try and not annoy as many people as the 39 closures would. But that appears to be that those schools are going.
Yes.
Do you accept that?
I don't want to accept it.
No.
I don't want to try and explain to all my children in care that how it's going to affect them.
Have you applied what the Chief Minister continues to say, that this had to be done? Do you accept that? Or is that just hogwash?
It may need to be done in the future, but I don't think it needs to be done right this minute.
Well, he would say that it should have been done a long time ago.
No, I believe the children should have the ability to go to a small school if they want to. They get the attention they need.
I guess it's reasonable for us to expect this to happen more slowly.
Yes.
Okay, thanks for that, Sharon. Jonathan, good afternoon.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
Good. Now, you're involved with rallies and protests in regards to school closures?
Yeah, I'm a member of the Canberra High School Board and I organise the student protest on Wednesday the 14th of June.
You had a listen to the Chief Minister?
Yes, I did.
And?
And I can say I wasn't very impressed. He was there upmoting himself about how much money he's spending in stuff like policing and health.
Yeah, well, they do. They try and do that in health. I wasn't interested in that necessarily. It's about what people are concerned about at the moment.
Yeah, but he didn't make a point of how much money his government is spending on luxuries for the community, things we don't need, like a prison. The amount of money that he's putting into the seeing if a dragway could be a good idea, a feasibility study, that's going to cost $1 million.
Yeah, but there are people who would say that's not a luxury, that's what's been promised to them.
Yeah, well, I the people of Ivarth, and you say what's more important, a public high school or a dragway, and frankly, I think you have to be insane to say a dragway.
What do you feel is going to happen in your patch if what is proposed does happen eventually?
Well, the one thing I know students in my own grade are really frustrated about is that if there was Canberra High's going to close, that's the attitude parents have, parents pull their kids out now, move them to other schools, will the other schools be able to cope? And also, with teachers having to move from Canberra High School to other schools to be able to cater for the students moving, will students who still want to receive their Year 10 certificate at Canberra High be able to do the same subjects? So how will it affect them in that aspect too?
Have you... there have been some meetings with the Education Minister, public meetings, haven't there?
Yes, they have.
In the areas to be affected?
Yeah, although at one point, all the meetings Andrew Barr's having... for all the districts, none of them will be held at a school he plans to close.
But they'll be in districts or areas that'll be affected, surely?
Yep, he's having the Tuggeranong one at Carolyn Chisholm High. I'm not sure what date that is. I think that's later this week.
Okay. All right, Jonathan, thank you. I'm sorry we couldn't get you through to the Chief Minister, but we're limited time.
Can I just quickly make one more point?
Yep.
Just want to make a point. He's making points about the demographics of the Canberra area.
Mm.
Now, the census is going to be done next year.
Mm.
Wouldn't it have made more sense to wait before closing schools, before taking in the information from the new census,
The figures are, what, 4 years old, you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. They should wait until next year to see, you know, because we have new enrolments coming in Canberra, would you believe?
But schools, when you're planning schools, you work forward. You work forward 10 years, I believe, when you're planning schools. That's when you're building schools, not closing them.
Yep.
So they're the sort of figures. Jonathan, thank you for holding on.
Thank you very much.
6255 4444 is our number if you want to be part of the Chief Minister's unable to continue on. He only gave us till 4:30. That is that. But if you want to continue to make comments, you're welcome to. Canberra's Talk Radio 2CC of the Drive Show at 17 to 5. 6255 4444 is the number. Meltdown in the old studio phone here during the time the Chief Minister was in the studio. Not surprising. Now, and we've got quite a few emails, and I'll check some more. Chief Minister's taken as many as we've had printed at the time, but he continued to get those. He's undertaken to look at them and probably come back and have a chat at another stage. 6255 4444 is the number if you want to continue. Mark, good afternoon.
Yeah, g'day, how are you going?
Good.
You know, it said it all for me. The fact that the Chief Minister could only give the Canberra public half an hour, and the time when he was speaking, he basically just did such long-winded answers that he didn't really say. Well, I suppose he was saying a lot, but he wasn't giving anyone any opinion. I don't really know why he bothered. And I think this guy's really got to look carefully at the way he does present, because he comes across as a very, very arrogant person. I don't know him. He's probably a really nice guy, but he comes across very, very poorly. And I think this guy needs to think, and his government needs to think very, very carefully about that.
Well, I suppose there are two things. I don't know him either, but I've met him a few times and been at functions, and I don't know that he's arrogant, but I don't know that he conducts himself like, I've said this before, conducts himself like normal politicians do. He is long-winded, yes, that's frustrating. Because when you invite someone into your studio, you've got to keep the ball rolling when you've got about 10 calls waiting to go and he's talking about money into health. I've got to do that. So if I didn't do that as well, that's my lack of skill on that behalf. He being a politician knew he had 30 minutes and he needed to use them up without taking too many calls, of course. But he agreed we didn't have to twist his arm initially. He agreed to do it. And as I said, we can have him back.
Well, he wants to get back and be on there for a bit longer, I think, rather than just half an hour, because that's just really, really poor. If that's all we can give people, if that's the only access he can give people is half an hour, that is really, really poor.
Well, again, I mean, if you, it's a commercial radio station which is here to entertain as well. Some people might say an hour of a politician is way too much. You see what I mean? So we've got to play a bit of a game here. I don't know whether an hour would be advisable. I mean, it might okay for the political junkies, and there are a few of those around, but I don't know about the general community who aren't affected.
Yeah, I know. Well, maybe he just needs to sort of tailor his answers a bit shorter and give people more of an opportunity rather than just going into sort of political diatribe, I guess is the term. I don't know.
Let me toss this one to you. His explanations are that it needs to be done, and he's been using the same line, and that's what politicians learn to do. Don't move away from the line. But I can tell by the look of his face, he is keen to explain why he's doing it. It probably should have, you know, it probably should explain why it wasn't done in other terms that his government have had to do it, because it's basically way overdue now if you take the Chief Minister's line. So where do you stand on that? If this needed to be done, it's getting harder and harder and harder. He probably could have left it and been re-elected, couldn't he?
Well, he could have done, and probably are issues with regards to the school numbers and things like that, but anyway.
But are you in any way impressed with the fact that he's probably signed his own death warrant politically by doing it? And he's not a mug. It's not like the new minister. He's a new boy, but Stanhope's been around for a while. He'd know the ramifications of doing this, and if he doesn't know, he's learning very quickly. So, I mean, is that impressive, or do you think it's a trick?
I'll give him his due. That's, you know, he's actually said that, and, you know, he's obviously laid it all on the line. But it doesn't impress me when he doesn't let people have access. You know, when people don't have any way of getting to them, and not only him, but his government, I guess.
Well, I've got to tell you, the last time I spoke to the Chief Minister was the day after the budget, and he was getting on a plane, and he talked to me as he walked out to the plane. So, I mean, access to us is reasonably good, to be fair.
I don't know about that. Doesn't always seem that way.
Some of the others duck for cover. Depends what they're facing. All right, Mark, thanks for that.
Yeah, okay, good on you. See ya.
6255-4444 is the number. This is The Drive Show. It's 12 to 5.
Well, she...
It's The Drive Show. 6255-4444 is our number. 9 to 5. Hello, Mary.
Hello. How are you this afternoon?
Not too bad.
I just am ringing to agree with the previous caller about the arrogance of Mr. Stanhope. I had never met him before. I read in the paper after the budget that he had boasted about how he used to have coffee at Westfield Belconnen. And how no one had gone up to him after the budget and said anything to him on Saturday mornings, etc., etc. I was in the at Westfield a week or so later, saw him, and I approached him very politely, asked him, you know, about the school closures, etc. And he just then stood there and just spurted numbers and percentages at me, a rehearsed speech. A very tall man, I'm being very short, he literally stood over me, and when I said, look, excuse me, Mr. Stanhope, I don't want to hear numbers or percentages, I got told that I was very rude, I'd stop interrupting him and listen. And I just stopped.
You mean he stood over you?
He stood over me.
To intimidate you?
He did.
Who else was there? Did he have people with him? Did you have people
with
you?
He was by himself. My husband was a few feet away.
What did your husband do?
He was starting to step forward because he like didn't like the look of what happened. And I just kept saying to Mr. Stanhope, look, I just want to talk to you. I don't want numbers and I don't want percentages. I just want to talk to you. And he then started the percentages and the numbers again and kept going on and on and on. And in the end, I just again said, look, excuse me. And he again, I was told, stop interrupting. And then I was told, look, we're going to agree to disagree. And he turned and walked away. And I thought, fine. Thank you. I'm not voting for you again. I have been a Labour voter for a very long time.
And I don't need to ask you that, do I?
That's done it for me.
What about the aspect of it? Now, he's either stupid or very astute by saying, well, listen, I know this is going to cost me government. And, of course, it's not just he as the Chief Minister. He's got quite a few other people there who'd like to stay in the cushy jobs they've got. He's cost them government as well because they'll go if that's what happens. Do you believe he believes that?
I don't know what he believes at the moment.
Do you understand my question? He's saying, I'll do this, and if I get the chop because of it, I'm prepared to get the chop because of it.
I hear what you're saying. I really don't know. I think on one hand he's a very stupid man, And on the other hand, I think, well, you're being very brave.
Yeah.
But I still don't agree with what he's doing and what's for example, the education department is doing.
Are there two issues here with, I mean, obviously you don't like him, you think he's arrogant, and he doesn't seem to have a very good way of dealing with people, particularly on Saturday morning at the coffee shop.
Well, now, this wasn't on a Saturday morning. This was actually during the week in another place at Westfield. And he was just very rude. And they say word of mouth is the best advertising. And I tell you something, from my mouth, he's got bad advertising.
But he's lost you because of his attitude rather than what he's doing with the schools.
Oh, no, he's lost me both big time. He's what he's doing with the schools is just wrong. I don't think he truly understands, and I don't think Andrew Barr truly understands what sort of fight they are going to be up against. And
I think they're learning quickly than if they didn't understand before, but they should have known.
It's an old saying that the lion is the king of the jungle, but you do anything to a lioness's children, and she will come out roaring louder than that lion.
I've heard that theory.
That are very angry.
But remember, the other mob, as I referred to, the other mob, are they going to build the schools for you?
What schools are they going to build?
Going to provide the service as it is now?
We already have schools. Assuming
there's a drain on the budget, they're costing too much money for too few students, does the other mob have a policy on what they'll do for you? Because the money's got to be found from somewhere, hasn't it?
Well, let's say there's a jail that they're planning to build. Why a jail? I mean, the way they're going with the education system, I heard a lady on your morning program a week or so ago, and I thought it was quite funny but quite true. The way they're doing the education department, we are going to have criminals and no education, so great having a jail.
Put them together.
That's right.
All right, Mary.
So, thank you.
There's a vote for you, Bill. Sarah, hello. Are you there, Sarah? Let's go to... hello, is that you, Sarah? Who's there? Who's on this line? Hello, you're whispering. Who's this, please? Steve, is it?
Steve, not Sarah.
No, well, Sarah was there somewhere.
Oh, I've got no idea, mate. But
that's okay. You don't sound like a Sarah to me, Steve.
Hey, listen, I got a note. I'm sorry about that. I'm from the school where my daughter goes.
And which school, Steve?
Dan was on there from 4 till 6.
No, wouldn't do that.
No, I didn't think he would.
No.
These schools and that, all the closures and that.
Mm-hmm.
What's the overall what you've heard of?
All I can tell you is what the Chief Minister says again and again and again. This has needed to be done for a long time because the low student numbers in certain schools can't be maintained at that particular school because of the cost of running it. He's suggesting there's a big shift away from the government system in the ACT, which would suggest the system is ratchet and people are prepared to spend their money taking their children or sending their children to private schools. And therefore, there are fewer students and less money coming in, but I don't know that that makes much difference on what people contribute to the government schools anyway because they don't have to. The schools have to be closed down.
I was going to say, because that's only voluntary.
I asked him about that because you don't have to pay.
No, that's voluntary, and that's explained to you when you enroll your kids.
And even it's only $25 if you want to pay it anyway. And you should. I mean, you've got to pay for everything else. You've got to pay for that. But there's a school where my son went to up to grade 6 last year, school which had 600 kids, and it got 193. This is a huge school. I knew long before this happened that couldn't last. I mean, you know certain things can't last.
Well, exactly.
But it was
right,
brilliant. But, it was brilliant to have the ability, and my son loved it because it's such a small school. But he's hit the wall now because he's going to Belconnen High.
Oh yeah,
it's like a bloody jungle, by comparison.
That's
the reality, isn't it? You can't keep those smaller ones open.
I work in the schools.
Beg your pardon?
I work in the school.
Yeah. Okay.
And Stanhope used to come past the Kaline High School where I was. And he'd be whinging because this and that wasn't done, blah, blah, blah. And he'd make sure it was done there and then. Because he didn't like it and he lives just up the road from it.
That's his patch, isn't it?
It's his patch, so he wants it to look pretty, blah, blah, blah. And, if they want to save money and keep some of these schools open for people as convenience and keep the teachers, get rid of some of these government cars. Get rid of some of you know, all their taxi vouchers. Get them to catch a bus like they keep profession to everyone else.
They've just given themselves a pay rise.
And Johnny, here,
some of those backbenchers,
$30,000 a year.
Some of those backbenchers are getting $130 a package with all the extra costs for cars.
Yeah.
Would you believe it? Close to $140,000 a year.
Yeah, and then it's all everyone else that sits out there and does all the work, or gets around and does all the work.
We got to put some decent people in there, different people, not just people whose path it is.
That's exactly right, mate. And when Howard leaves, what's he going to get for the rest of his life?
Who?
Johnny Howard.
Oh, well, there's another area.
No, he's still going to get his $300,000. When all the politicians leave,
he's
still going to get all their...
Yeah, but he deserves it.
Entitlements.
He deserves it because the economy nationally is going along rather smilingly, but not here.
No, well, I'm just saying, look, at all these schools now, they got rid of all the P&C canteens.
Yeah.
And they put in this, what they call...
Steve, we're going to have to cut you there, buddy. We've got the news.
All right, mate, no
worries. Okay, good to talk to you. It's 12 past. Steve, good afternoon.
G'day, Mike. How are you?
Not too bad.
Very disappointed with Mr. Stanhope.
Oh, really?
Well...
I'm so surprised, Stephen.
Well...
What did you expect?
Well, why did you bother even having him on here to begin with? I mean...
Well, that's what we do. People wanted to ask him questions, so whack him on the air, open the line. I mean, he gave us half an hour, but again, as I said to the last caller, you whack him on for an hour, people go, oh, that's too much of a politician. So you got to balance, you got to find a way that to get him on and get people. I mean, I don't know, we took 8 or 10 questions, callers, we could have probably taken about 20, but... We just weren't able to.
So I'm furious, Mike, on two areas. Mr. Stanhope's arrogance, and number two, these ads that this radio station is running.
Yeah.
Now, they're saying
that... We have to run them. If someone wants to run an ad, we have to run them.
Well, where's it coming from? Is it coming from our pockets? Or is it coming from the coffers of the Labor Club?
Well, I don't know. There's a bit on the end, which is a part of the rules that you have to do in political advertising of this nature.
Well, I've had a gutful of it. This town's becoming a laughing stock to Sydney. I mean, he's expecting people to come here and live. Where are they going to send their children? Where are they going to send their children? What schools? I mean, they're going to shut down 40.
He's telling you by shutting them down, in a few years' time, the schools will be vastly better because of the savings made and the infrastructure enhanced in more centralised schools, if you like.
That's arid nonsense, Mike, and we all know it. We're not stupid. I mean, why does he want to build a clink out near Jerobomb with panoramic views, nearly five-star sort of class? Prisoners getting 3 square meals a day. There are some children in these schools, Mike, that go to these schools, don't even get 3 square meals a day. So we're going to give these rock spiders all these panoramic views, are we?
No, well, the children's food thing is not to do with Stanhope. Surely you can't blame him for that.
Well, why do we need a clink? I mean, what's wrong with sending our prisoners over to New South Wales? I mean...
It costs too much, apparently.
Oh, arid nonsense again. I mean, that's one area. Number two, what about these appeals for the bushfire inquiry? How many millions does that cost from our pockets? How many millions of dollars have they had to fork out because of John Stanhope with his little public service mates getting into a bit of trouble saying, oh, we've got to protect them? It's these damn pen pushers that he's employed that are doing nothing and are on these fat salaries. I mean, this place has become the scourge, the Sodom and Gomorrah of Australia. It has really become a disgrace.
The Sodom and Gomorrah?
The Sodom and Gomorrah, yes.
I thought you were talking about that, the Sounds of Silence. Steve, you can vote him out next time.
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
Remember, who would you vote in? Are there the schools there?
Well, the fact is, you know, I'm not going to... Well, that's what's going to happen. And once again, it proves, and this is what Stan Zemanek has said, that this Labor government are a bunch of socialist criminals. They are. I mean, they want to shut down schools, they want to open up prisons. I mean, this damn Gungahlin driveway has been a debacle.
Mm.
That's cost millions. Because of a few little tree-hugging greenies that actually want to protect a little, you know, an old dump that was used back in the 1920s. I mean, this is just incompetence.
You've got a lot of... Well, no, actually, on that issue, the government didn't buckle. I mean, it cost more money ultimately, but the people pushing it, they're the ones who cost the money, didn't they, and the Gungahlin Drive extension.
Well, they've had to fork out for government lawyers, haven't they? Have
who?
They not?
Yeah, but the government didn't buckle on it. The government's going ahead with it.
They're going ahead with it.
It didn't buckle to your friends who don't want it in their backyard.
Well, basically, you know, it's cost, it's blown, the cost of the Gungahlin Drive extension is blown out.
I know, but that, you can't put that down to the government.
Well, it is, because...
You can put it down to those people who are so bloody selfish, who didn't want it in their backyard.
Well, it's just our...
So they've walked away now, haven't they?
There's one answer for all this, Mike, and it's simple. Get rid of self-government, hand it back to the federal government where it used to be, before self-government was introduced back in 1989, when things are running a lot better. I mean, the Canberra Hospital should have never gone, and it's because of self-government. We had two referendums, Mike, okay? You're not aware of this.
I'm aware, but I wasn't here.
Okay, we had two referendums. We voted out. We didn't want self-government until the silver bodgy comes in and says, what's that self-government, the ACT?
I'll tell you what. A very astute man once said something, and I think I'll share it with you now, Steve, okay?
Vote the bastards out. You bloody politicians better wake up. Yeah, vote the bastards out. Vote the bloody politicians out. Vote the bastards out. No two ways about it. No ifs or buts. Out you go, politician. Vote the bastards out.
That's basically how you do it, isn't it? 17 past five at the drive show.
Drive with Mike Welsh.
Welshie.
Smallest big mouth on
two double C. He knows where it's at. He knows where it's been.
Welshie. Smallest big mouth on two double C. He knows where it's at. He knows where it's been. Welshie.
The biggest mouth on two double C.
Welshie.
Do you want one more go?
I'll try.
The Mike Welsh Drive Show on 2CC.
24-6, 24-26 at the Drive Show. A few emails from Pete. Mike, could you tell John it would be Stanhope to answer the questions, not blabber on like a drunk and say nothing? He's only answered three questions in 30 minutes. Ask him the truth as to why he closed the schools and is raising rates. Can't, Pete, he's gone. Pete says all the waffle about money for police, etc., just that, because federal government has given him millions in GST since he was elected. And he's blown the lot in his own little pet projects. Thanks, Pete. Hooter Boy says, Mike, I'd rather get wisdom teeth out than listen to an hour of John Stanhope. He's a popular dude, isn't he, this fella? Hello, John.
Hello, Mike.
How are you?
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah.
He does tend to. I think the expression they used to use was rabbit on.
Rabbit on, yeah.
Do they still use that expression?
I heard it somewhere recently. And it was the person who said it was a person who had a speech impediment, so the rabbit.
Oh, okay.
Rabbit on.
I've been trying to catch the name of the person that's been footing the bill for these Labor ads that have recently appeared to justify the savage cuts to the ACT, and it sounds like Matthew, they always say it fast so you can't follow Matthew Kosciuszko, could you help me there?
Well, next time I play it, I'll have a listen for you.
Oh, have you got any idea who this fellow is? He seems to have a lot of money, this Matthew, to pay for these ads.
Yeah.
And we had, who was it, Steve on there earlier wanting to know who was footing the bill.
Yeah, well, we know who's putting the bill.
I would be surprised if it came out of taxpayers' money.
Well, we should know that, shouldn't we, if that were the case?
Yeah, I mean, how do we know that this Matthew...
Remember that someone could ring me now and say, what about the millions upon millions the Howard government spent to tell you about certain things like the GST?
Yes, but the Howard government's got nothing to do with ACT local government. Let's not go off on a tangent.
No. What I'm saying is, where is the rule that governments can't spend money on educating the public, is what they call it, on issues? Now, you and I know they're doing it to gain favour or to change your view
If I could just catch,
but you can see there is a connection between what the Howard government or the Keating government or the Hawke government did in order to get you to learn about new things.
Yes, well, I'm sure we're all well aware that he has to do this and they have to do that and close all the schools. I'm sure we're all well aware of that, Mike.
He doesn't have to do it.
No.
Doesn't have to do it.
No.
He tells us in order to have a future.
Yeah.
Well, you see, that's a hard one.
Yeah, but see, if this Matthew Kosciuszko, whatever his name is...
Maybe it's Cozzy.
Cozzy?
Yeah.
Oh.
Matthew Bikini.
Matthew
Cozzy? Matthew
anyway.
One Piece. Have
you met the man, or...?
Yeah, I see him down the pool. He wears a pair of Speedos. That's why they call him Matthew Cozzy.
Well, hopefully... actually, he is...
Well, maybe it's Matthew Coffey.
He's paying for it out of
maybe
his own
a latte or a tall white. I don't know.
Yeah, but do you think they're telling porgies when they say that he's paying for it?
What do you reckon?
I'll go and read what's on Samuel's website, I think.
Will you?
Yeah.
Anything interesting on there? I haven't been on for a while.
Somebody left some comments about what was said after the Chief Minister ran out at 4:30 and only gave half an hour of his time.
I would have liked longer.
Yeah.
But I'll repeat, an hour of John Stanhope.
Well, he ran out of the studio knowing that there was about 20 people still waiting on the line to ask him questions.
Well, he didn't run out of the studio. He went to the newsroom and did an insert for them as well.
Right.
And he took with him a manila folder full of emails I've had.
Oh, yes, and what's he going to do? Reply to them, is he?
Give them to Matthew Coffey, I guess. Cossie.
Right. Okay, well.
See, you're a barfly. You shouldn't... So now I've got to listen to that bloody commercial.
Yeah.
See, I wanted to go home in 20 minutes and not worry about it.
You reckon it's Cossie. How do you spell it? K-O-S-S-Y or...?
Cossie would be C-O-S-S-I, wouldn't it?
Would it? Huh.
Or it could be Peter Costello calling Cossie, don't they?
Yeah, I've got no idea.
Cossie be good. Yeah, heard that song?
Yeah, but...
Go, Johnny.
Yeah.
Give Costello a go, Cossie be good.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big hit song at the moment. You ever heard it?
No, I haven't, actually.
You don't listen to pop music, do you?
No.
All right, well, but again, I'll give you the advice I've given most of the other callers since John Stanhope.
Vote the bastards out. You bloody politicians better wake up. Yeah, vote the bastards out. Vote the bloody politicians out. Vote the bastards out. No two ways about it, no ifs or buts. Out you go, politician. Vote the bastards out.
Mike Welsh, thanks to Capital Air and Dakin Heat Pumps on Talk Radio 2CC.
Nothing is more important than our children's future. The ACT Labor Government is spending an extra $192 million on building new modern schools, upgrading existing schools, and providing new IT for our classrooms. Some tough decisions also need to be made because previous governments have made the politically easy decisions. ACT Labor is making those tough decisions now so that we have a better school system in the future for all our children. Spoken by P. Mills, paid for and authorised by Matthew Cossie, ALP Canberra.
There you go, John. Matthew Cossie. That's what I heard. I don't have brilliant hearing, but that's what I heard.